very great fortune to be amongst all of you this evening. I would like to thank you from my heart for coming to attend this auspicious festival. Time is so precious. Every moment is more valuable than all the wealth that we can possibly achieve in this world. If you lose wealth, you can get it back. But if you lose time, it's gone. Every moment of this human form of life is so very, very valuable. Our success in life is how, moment after moment, we make decisions that are for our real welfare. Tonight, can everyone hear? Everyone could hear nicely? Yes? Tonight we have been asked to speak on the subject of failure as a stepping stone to success. I'd like to begin by explaining a small incident that took place in 1969. In London, England, they were planning to have the first Rath Yatra on the European continent. They had already had Rath Yatra in San Francisco, California. But the six devotees that came to London were very enthusiastic to perform this Rath Yatra in London. They got a main street in downtown London for the parade. Shamsundar Prabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada before the Rath Yatra explaining what type of promotion and propaganda they were making to attract people to come. They were expecting tens of thousands. There were posters, articles in papers, invitations, grand scale. When the Rath Yatra was just beginning, the wheel broke and the cart, the chariot, collapsed. It was a disaster. There was nothing they could do to fix it. They more or less had to cancel. So Gurudas Prabhu, who was one of the leading managers of that project, wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He was very despondent. He really felt that he had disappointed his guru. What to speak of disappointed tens and thousands of people who came for the parade? Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter back. In that letter, he first explained that from the engineering point of view, you must have had too much weight on the chariot without the capacity of the wheel to hold it. Therefore, the wheel broke. So we must learn this lesson. We have to engineer whatever we do in Krishna consciousness very carefully and very thoroughly. But beside that, Srila Prabhupada said, do not be discouraged. Do not be disappointed. Maybe Krishna has a higher reason that we cannot see for why this happened. Just be patient, be enthusiastic, and have your next Rath Yatra next month. Do it again with all enthusiasm, but make the cart right. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success. And this same principle can be applied to our spiritual lives in our service to the Supreme Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada explains that Jagannath, who is sitting on the cart, is none different than Krishna. If we are sincere, if we're never discouraged by the dualities of happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, Krishna will accept our sincerity. And that is our real success. Srila Prabhupada wrote in this letter that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success. But it can also be applied to our spiritual lives. One very famous orator has said that success is going from failure to failure to failure without losing one's enthusiasm. We never really fail until we give up trying. Trying with determination and with enthusiasm. Vision, real vision, is to see the invisible, to feel the intangible, and to achieve the impossible. Actually, challenges or failures can be stepping stones or stumbling blocks on the road to success. It is all a matter of how we look at it. You can see a glass is half empty, or you could see a glass is half full. One will bring you enthusiasm, one will bring you discouragement. We can apply that principle to every aspect of our life. What is of real importance is that we know we're doing the right thing. We learn from our mistakes. A mistake is only a mistake if we fail to learn from it. Real leaders make many, many mistakes, but they do not repeat them. They learn from them. They remain enthusiastic. They remain determined. toward their goal. Actual champions in every situation, they are always focused on their goal. They make goals. And losers make excuses. Our life is what we make of it. Failure is a very minor stumbling block on the road to success. Srila Prabhupada explained to Gurudas, learn from your failure and you'll be better equipped to serve. In fact, do you know that a couple months later, they had a more glorious Ratha Yatra? And from that day on, in the next 30 years, all over the world, there has never been a Ratha Yatra cart that has broken on the road. They learned the lesson and taught the lesson to the whole world. Failures build character. Pressure is something that only comes to one who earns it. We should respect pressure as an honor. We cannot be successful unless we have the courage to fail. In every failure contains the seed of success. To be successful in any venture of life is very difficult. To fail is very easy. It is very difficult to roll a stone to the top of a mountain. It's very easy to push it down. When we learn from our mistakes, when we learn from our failures, we become stronger. We have greater integrity. Thomas Edison, he tried 8,000 various experiments before he finally invented the battery. And when he was asked about it, his quote was, he wasn't discouraged by all those 8,000 failures. He said, at least I learned what doesn't work. That is success. Now in Bombay, we are undergoing the monsoon rains. It's very inconvenient. Most people just do not like when it's raining. And that's a universal principle all over the world. Raining is an austerity. You practically cannot do anything outside. Yes? Children cannot do their sports. Adults cannot have open parties or whatever else they do. to get from one place to another. Very difficult. However, the rain nourishes the earth, provides grains, fruits, vegetables, flowers. Without rain, there is no life. There is a song from the 1940s in America. When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So when we see the rain coming, our mind should be focused on the flower that they will bring. When difficulties, obstacles, pressures, and even failures come into our life, we should always be seeing the invisible, feeling the intangible, so that we can achieve the impossible. We may not understand exactly why, but if we have faith, if we have hope, we can always be looking at that flower that will grow from this rainstorm. That is the substance of a successful man. Opportunity knocks. Most people complain about the noise. We should see an opportunity in every situation. We never really lose until we stop trying. It is said that in darkness, a star shines brightest. According to the Panchatantra, there are three types of persons in performing their duties. The one they call Kanishta, a person who does not begin an endeavor, fearful that he may fail. The second person is one who endeavors but turns back when obstacles and failure comes on his path. That is Madhyam. And Uttam, the first class man, is the person who keeps his mind fixed on the goal and does not turn back till he achieves it. Srila Prabhupada explained that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar to success. But it can be applied to spiritual life. With your permission, I would like to give just a few examples. In the secular society of how this principle applies. Do I have your permission? There was a man. He had low grades when he was a child. His father said he was dull and he would never make a living. He wanted to attend Standhurst University. He failed the admission exam 2 times. He also had a very severe lisp, a speech impediment. And it took him years and years of work to overcome it. This man's name was Winston Churchill. He became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom in the days when the sun never set in the British Empire. And in the secular world, he is considered one of the most famous orators of the 20th century. There was a man who wrote a children's book. He brought it to publishers. It was rejected 27 times. He actually came to the point where he was ready to burn the manuscript. This man's name is Dr. Seuss, the most world-famous author of children's books. He had 40 best-selling children's books in his life. And in the West, every child grows up with them, even me. There was a man who got a job as a journalist. He was fired. His employer said because he had no creativity. Then he started a cartoon company. And in the first year, he went bankrupt. That man's name is Walt Disney, who's practically the founder of children's films. Unbelievable success. There was a musical group. They auditioned and presented their music to Columbia Records and were rejected. To Decca Records, rejected. To Pay Records, rejected. To Philips Records, rejected. To His Master's Voice, rejected. This was in 1962. The name of that musical band was the Beatles. The most famous musical band in the history of the Western world. Practically any record they made went number one in the charts. There was a man who wanted to be a singer. In his high school, he got C in music class, and his music teacher said, "You cannot sing, give up the idea." His name was Elvis Presley. He was the king of rock, and he's still considered the king of rock. There was a man who ran for president in his freshman year in college. He lost. The next year, what to speak of president, he wasn't even voted on to the student council because people just didn't think he was an adequate administrator. His name was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, one of the prominent presidents of the United States of America. Henry Ford went bankrupt 3 times in the first 3 years he entered into the automobile industry. There was a man named R.H. Macy who tried to make a store in New York City. 7 times he went out of business. For the past 40 years, one of the landmarks of New York City and a store that people from all over the world go to is Macy's Department Store. There was a man who failed as a real estate agent, failed as a farmer, failed as a customs agent, and failed as a store clerk. His name was Ulysses S. Grant, one of the greatest military generals in America's history, and he became President of the United States. There was a man who, due to mediocre grades, was not eligible to go to the UCLA film school where he really wanted to go. His name was Steven Spielberg. Perhaps you've heard of him. There was a man, when he was in high school, with all his might, he played. He couldn't make the high school basketball team. His name, Michael Jordan. ESPN named him the greatest athlete of the 20th century. There was a man named Fred Smith who was going to college. In his project, he presented an idea for a business. He got grade C, which means average. It's not impressive. That same man founded on the same principles. Actually, just by activating that project that he failed with, he founded the Federal Express Company. There was a lady. She wanted to be an actress. She worked for 20th Century Fox. After 1 year, she was dropped because the production chief said she was unattractive. Her name, Marilyn Monroe, who became the beauty goddess of Hollywood even to this day. Albert Einstein was not able to speak. He was not able to actually talk till he was 9 years old. Thomas Edison, he tried 1,320 times before he finally got his invention of the light bulb to work. And as I said before, 8,000 attempts before he got the battery to work. He never gave up. He kept his goal in mind. In my own life, my father, when I was 10 years old, he went into total bankruptcy. He had nothing. He lost everything. He made a wrong decision. He struggled and toiled just to keep his family from being in poverty. Today, he's a millionaire. And I remember when he was going through that crisis, every day I'd hear him singing loudly in the shower. When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. according to the three modes of material nature. Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter describes that people who perform their work disregarding spiritual injunctions and who perform work that causes violence and pain to others, that is work in the mode of ignorance. Those who endeavor very hard for selfish reasons, with false ego that I am the enjoyer, they are in the mode of passion. Most of the people we're talking about in the mode of passion, but they never gave up. They didn't care what anyone said about them. They didn't care how many times they fell on their face. They were willing to get back up and keep trying. That is the substance of a success. Those are in the mode of goodness. They work, they endeavor without false ego, free of dualities, without being discouraged or over elated by either success or failure. There are many examples in the Holy Scriptures of great souls who have overcome all obstacles to fulfill their mission. Krishna explains, Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharamasya trayate mahatopaya. A spiritual principle that any advancement on the path of devotion is never lost. And even if one falls down, even if one fails, still whatever progress that person has made is still with him. An example is Ajamila. He strived on the path of devotion, and then he totally failed. He fell completely on his face into the most abominable sinful activities. But because his work gained him eternal spiritual credits, at the greatest time of his need, Krishna was there to protect him. We know Krishna induced him to name his son Narayan. And at the time of death, this sinful, immoral wretch simply said the name of his son because of his previous devotional activities. He saw the Yamadutas, Vishnudutas, and he made up his mind then, I did the wrong thing. I made a big mistake. He learned from his lesson, he picked himself up, and he attained the ultimate perfection of life, chanting the holy names. Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we must perform our duties without attachment. We should not be attached to the fruits of our work. We should be attached to the purpose in which we are performing our work. of all scriptures in the world, Bhagavad Gita, so deeply, systematically, scientifically, philosophically, logically, explain the proper consciousness in which to perform our duties in this world. Krishna within our heart does not see the external appearance of success or failure. Krishna sees our sincerity. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna explains, if you even offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it if it's offered with devotion. And let us see how these principles of Bhagavad Gita have been applied in great spiritual teachers' lives in our history. Christianity, it is the largest religion in the world as far as number of people, by many times over. They went through a very, very serious failure. Their savior, there was only a few followers at the time. Jesus Christ only had perhaps a couple thousand followers then. And there were only a very few, 12, who are really serious and committed. His religious movement was at a seed state. And he was crucified. He was tortured, and he left the world. Their guru, their master, when they were just novices, had left them. And after that, anyone who followed would become persecuted. It's a failure in one sense. But ultimately, what is the principle that caused Christianity to grow all over the world the way it did? That Jesus died for our sins. On the top of every church, all the millions and millions of churches in the world, is the crucifix, which apparently was their failure. They lost their guru, they lost their guide. But what appeared to be a failure, they transformed the Christians into making that the greatest, most powerful statement to convert people. The Prophet Muhammad, he began his preaching in Mecca. He made a few followers. Most of them were killed in persecution. He had to disguise himself to sneak out of the city without being killed. It's a failure. But later he came back. He learned from things. He had faith in God. He had enthusiasm, determination. He came back. Now Mecca is the greatest place of pilgrimage for the Islamic faith. In the Vedic scriptures, we read of Vishwamitra Muni. He was a yogi. He performed years and years of severe austerities. And then a beautiful lady named Menaka appeared before him. He completely fell down into sinful, immoral acts. He lost all of his mystic power. He lost all of his whatever he had done. He failed. But what did he do? He got right back into, he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. He would never be seduced by a woman like that again. I will not give in to lust. So with even more determination, he performed his tapasya for many, many years. And then another heavenly damsel appeared before him. And this time, he wasn't going to give in to lust. He was so angry at her. He burned her to, he made her into stone by his glance. And because he gave in to anger, he fell down. He lost all his yogic powers. He was again just an ordinary man. He failed. What did he do? He didn't get married and get a job. He just went right back. Now I learned two good lessons. Failure is stepping stone to success if we have faith and vision. It is a stumbling block to success if we do not. Vishwamitra Muni again performed his tapasya and became such a great, great devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, became his disciple. And now he is glorified throughout history as one of the greatest rishis of all time. In Mahabharata, we read the story of Pandavas. The Pandavas failed, really failed. They lost everything. Yudhisthira made a serious mistake by entering into that gambling match. It is one of the regulative principles. No gambling. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. But as a Kshatriya, he had that right. Because it's also a principle of a Kshatriya. If you're challenged, you cannot say no. So he was challenged. So it was a mistake. That he was willing to take the challenge, knowing that Shakuni was on the other side. He lost his wealth. And then they said, another game? Yes. He lost his kingdom. Another game? Yes. He lost his brothers. Another game? Yes. He lost his wife. He lost everything. The Pandavas lost everything. They failed. They were exiled into the forest for 14 years. They were tried to murder. They tried to murder them in so many ways. Duryodhana tried to burn their house down while they were in it. At other times, he tried to poison them. And we can imagine when they were exiled into the forest to live like hermits, how Duryodhana, his 100 brothers, and all of his associates were spreading blasphemous, horrible propaganda against the Pandavas. To justify what they had done. They lost everything. They were disgraced, dishonored, but they never gave up hope. They never gave up faith. They never gave up their sincerity to serve Krishna. And it was in this circumstance that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to teach them that real success is not in the eyes of man. Real success is in the eyes of God. Because that bears eternal fruit. It is said that if you're not willing to go on the limb, you'll never get the fruit. Fortune favors the brave. Those who will take risks. Those who never give up. Those who learn from their mistakes, learn from their failures, correct them in a very positive state. Do not get discouraged, but maintain enthusiasm and hope. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told Arjuna, whether you win or lose is not important. What is important is you are with all your energy. You are serving with sincerity. And then if you win, you will attain the kingdom of the world. And if you lose, you'll attain the kingdom of God. Arjuna didn't need to hear that. We need to hear it. Therefore, Arjuna took a role on our behalf so that we could learn what is real detachment. In our own life, we worship the example of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna could have given him an Air India flight to New York. Krishna could have had many well-wishers waiting for him at the John F. Kennedy Airport with garlands and money. From Bombay, Srila Prabhupada tried so many ways to somehow or other start this movement. Actually, even before that, in 1952, Srila Prabhupada went to Jhansi. He was given a building at the Bharatiya Bhavan. And he founded the League of Devotees in 1953. It was his dream. It was his conviction that this building in Jhansi will be the international headquarters for a movement that he's going to spread throughout the world. He gave his life, his soul, his blood, his sweat, his tears to develop it for well over a year. His whole life, all his energy, whatever wealth he had, he put into this project. It was taken away from him. And if he didn't give it up, he would be under litigation. And he had no money to litigate. He had to leave. A couple years of putting all his eggs in that basket, as they say, I'm sorry, of using that as his quarters. He failed. He lost everything. But he didn't give up. He didn't even the slightest way lose enthusiasm. Rather, he became more determined, more enthusiastic. He learned a lesson. He was seeing the invisible. That is the quality of faith. From Vrindavan, he prepared himself. Then he came to Bombay and got a ticket, free ticket, on the cargo ship Jaladuta. When he was 70 years old, while crossing the Arabian Sea, he had 3 heart attacks at the age of 70. Heart failure. He arrived in New York City. There was absolutely not one single person that could help him. He was a stranger. He had 40 rupees. In those days, America had nothing to do with Indian rupees. The whole time he was in America, he could never change them. When he returned to India, he still had that 40 rupees. Which means he arrived there with nothing. No support, no money. He went to Butler, Pennsylvania, where some people were kind enough to let him stay in an apartment. There was no tangible success whatsoever. By material standards, he failed at Butler, Pennsylvania. He didn't get any following, any support, nothing. But he didn't see it as a failure. He saw it as an opportunity. In that time, although he was trying to preach, trying to meet people, trying to establish something, nothing happened. But meanwhile, he was observing the American people, and he was learning, what is their consciousness? What is their values? What is their lifestyle? He learned from that failure. Therefore, it wasn't a failure at all. It was a stepping stone. And then he went to New York City, and no one was there. One man from a yoga studio was sympathetic to help him, but would not allow him to speak. He met one boy who actually became interested, let him use his flat, his studio apartment, to start a center. Prabhupada was so happy. He wrote his god brothers, "Everyone send somebody to help me. It's our guru's mission. He wanted Krishna consciousness all over the world. Send somebody." No one sent him one person. No one sent him one paisa. He failed in all of his attempts to get the Indian people to assist him there. His hope was that flat. But one day, the boy was under LSD intoxication and actually attacked Srila Prabhupada, 70-year-old man, attacked him to kill him. Srila Prabhupada had to leave that place. He was out on the streets with nothing. It's a failure, apparently. But he learned from the lesson. He saw that this monsoon is going to bring very, very prosperous crops. Srila Prabhupada said on many occasions, When I came to the West, I was trying to do something that was impossible. And he was thinking, he said, I did not know whether it's possible for me to succeed. But at least I know that my Guru and Krishna will be pleased if I try and do not give up. He tried and never gave up. A couple years later, he had a worldwide movement. In hardly 16 years from the time he left America, he had over 100 temples, tens and thousands of devotees, 100 temples all over the world. His book publishing company, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, became the largest publisher and distributor of Vedic literatures in history. Tens and millions, and now hundreds of millions of books have been published and distributed. Once he was in Bombay, and he was speaking to a room full of very big industrialists. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining the secret of success. The secret of success is to do what we're doing for Krishna. To do what we're doing for Krishna's pleasure. With faith. He explained his heart attacks, his rheumatism, his stroke, his diabetes. He started the movement at 70 with all those diseases within the first year. But he never gave up. No help. He said, I went to India with 40 rupees. And he said, now the temples are worth crores and crores of rupees. He said the expenditures of our society, and he explained how many lakhs they were every day. He wasn't boasting. He was humble. He was simply trying to explain to them the mystical hand of Krishna, where we just put our life in his hands. Miracles are done. Never give up. Srila Prabhupada's tried to start this project in Juhu Beach. He got some land. He fought for years to get title for that land. Fought for years. And then some of his disciples were convinced by their opposition to legally sign over the land back to the owner. They did it. It was a total failure. Srila Prabhupada had his goal. There was no impediment that was going to stop him. Miraculously, in the most inconceivable way, Srila Prabhupada actually tricked the owner to sign it back. It was impossible. But he did it. Every time you see Radha Ras Bihari Temple, every time you see Radha Gopinath Temple, we should understand it is a miracle that Krishna performed Because his devotee had such faith, such compassion, that he wouldn't give up. We never lose until we stop trying. I'll repeat, Prabhupada said many times, I was thinking, it may be impossible to succeed, but just in my endeavor, my Guru and Krishna will be pleased. That is success. He wrote in his prayer, will they be able to understand my language? Well, I have no qualification. Just make me a puppet in your hands, Krishna. Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. At our Radha Gopinath temple, when we first came here, we were in one little tiny rat-infested room. That was it. We had no other facilities, not much help. Very difficult. And we had little deities. Krishna had a broken arm. He would come off and we'd dress him. We had nothing else. That's how it started. How all this has come? Because the devotees never gave up. Our Radhe Shyam Prabhu, I remember years ago he told me all the people he was preaching to at IIT graduated. There was no one coming to the programs. He said, I think we should give up this project. We explained, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he would not take no for an answer. He never gave up. This is how he trained Prabhupada, and this is how Prabhupada trained us. Disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time they arranged a big program. And only one or two people came in a big hall that fit thousands. They were discouraged, disappointed. They came back and told their guru in shame. He said, one person came, this is great success. He said, if no one comes with full enthusiasm, you preach to the four walls. And Krishna will be pleased. Ultimately, Krishna is the source of success and failure. Our success is simply if we please Krishna. And now IIT, because Radhe Shyam Prabhu and then later Gauranga Prabhu, despite all obstacles, difficulties, failures, they just kept going with enthusiasm. It's a glorious center for Krishna consciousness. I remember in my own life, we started a weekly class at one college. We were getting about 20 people. One day I went to give the class. The room was locked. There was a notice that the dean of students West Virginia University has canceled this class permanently. We had no other access to the campus. So those 20, 30 students came. And I was just meditating on Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, thinking, should I go to another college? How can I compete with the dean of students of a college with 40,000 students. So I just quickly wrote out a petition. and showed it to the students and said, they're canceling us, but you have a right as students to have this class. That is your constitutional right in America. We're not breaking any rules. They're simply canceling it because we're a minority religion. So they all signed that petition. And those students, they went to the dean's office. And they got so many other signatures from so many. They got hundreds of signatures from other students who didn't even come to the class just because they were outraged that they canceled it. And the dean started again. And because of all the publicity, the next class, we never got more than 20 before. The next class, we had 80 students. Failure is a stepping stone to success. Or it can be a stumbling block. It is all a matter of how we perceive it. In the Bible it says that if you have enough faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move into the ocean, and the mountain must move. Faith can move mountains. It has been demonstrated again and again by great personalities. Whenever you're a loser, don't give up. Try to follow the spirit of people who have won. Failure cultivates wisdom, character. If we have faith, the Vedic scriptures explain that we gain faith by associating with devotees. When we associate with people who have faith, our faith naturally develops. If we associate with people with no faith, then our faith dwindles. Historically, the greatest success stories in both material life and spiritual life have often been those who fail, lose everything, have no support. People are telling them, you cannot succeed. That's a good excuse. But successful people do not make excuses. They make goals. Yavashayat makabudhir ekeha kurunandana bahushakahyanantasya budhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna tells the secret of success. Those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose. And their aim is one. And they never give up. Ultimately, according to Gita, the real success of life is if we could remember God at the time of death. Death is the final exam. Gentlemen, I know many of you are students. what a challenge it is to prepare for an exam. In one sense, it's a desperate situation, because your passing or failing this exam may mean your career. Yes? So you work really hard. You endeavor with determination. But these exams come and go. Even if you gain all the wealth in the world, if you don't remember Krishna at the time of death, you lose everything materially and you have nothing spiritually. A devotee is not concerned with success and failure. It's concerned simply with endeavoring to please the spiritual master in Krishna. That in itself is success. Antakale chamame vasmanak makvakalevaram. Krishna tells, if you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. That is a fact. So we may succeed in so many of the temporal endeavors of this world, but we should be very careful to make sure that our human life is a success and not a failure. If we are not God conscious at the time of death, our human life has failed. How to prepare ourselves to always remember Krishna, to always think of Krishna. The Lord Himself has descended as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us the simple process. Associate with faithful people. Hear the philosophy of life from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat, and other such scriptures. And remember Krishna. And the most easy and accessible way to do that is the chanting of the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It doesn't matter how rich we are, how famous we are, how skilled we are. What really matters is our sincerity, our dedication. That is real success in life. One of my god sisters, she was a very sincere devotee who did incredible things in her devotional service. But due to previous conditionings and very, very difficult circumstances, she fell down. She was engaging in sinful activities. All kinds of them. But then something happened in her life by Krishna's grace that just slapped her in the face and made her sober. And she came back. She took the whole experience of years of being fallen as a blessing. Now she's one of the most influential, powerful leaders in our society. She's encouraging, preaching, training so many people. Now she could think that all the horrible things I've done, it was a mistake. She learned from it. She picked herself up and she walked forward. And what lessons she learned in that mistake. Because the same weaknesses, the same problems that cause other people to fall down from, she has full experience and wisdom of how it happens and what it means. She has such compassion to people who are in that condition, which is almost everybody in the world, because she suffered in it. She has taken her failure as one of her greatest assets and wealth to help others. We must learn from our mistakes. A mistake is only a mistake if we do not learn a good lesson from it and follow that wisdom. So please, there is no impediment in all of creation that can come in your way from success if you never give up, if you have hope, if you have faith, if you maintain enthusiasm and determination. It is a blessing when we fail. It is not a curse if we see the hand of God teaching us a good lesson. And that is applicable to every venture of life. We have given examples of material people who, in their materialistic pursuits, they failed. They were discouraged. But that's what great people are made out of. Enthusiasm, determination, and faith. And we have heard of some of the greatest spiritual personalities throughout the world, how they and their followers dealt with failure. To conquer without risk is to triumph without glory. People go to Christianity because Jesus died for their sins. And in our Krishna consciousness movement, one of our greatest inspirations was the trials, the tribulations, and the determination of Srila Prabhupada. It is because he was never discouraged, never disappointed. He pursued with faith that we are all here today. You are young. The best years of your life are before you. Do not waste them. Have your spiritual goals. And orchestrate all your duties and your material obligations in harmony with that spiritual goal. And you will be successful. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Hare Krishna. So thank you, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, for a very fantastic presentation. I'm sure all the devotees present here are extremely inspired by this talk. Before we go on to question and answers, I would request His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to release a magazine, a monthly magazine, which is being offered for the first time here by the ISKCON Youth Services. And this contains various articles by devotees, interviews with devotees, and tips for students in improving their studies. This will be a monthly magazine which will be brought out by the ISKCON Youth Services called Resonance. It will be available for sale for 5 rupees below in the youth preaching counter. So I now request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to release this magazine for the pleasure of all the devotees present here. Haribo! 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 So we have printed only 500 copies, and today there are 900 people present. So we are just giving some information. Also, I would like to welcome some of our esteemed guests who are present here today. We have His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu, a very senior lawyer and a senior devotee here in this congregation. We have Mr. Naresh Saini, Senior Divisional Engineer, Western Railway. We have Mr. Rajesh Talwar, Director, Bhaktivedanta Hospital and VAST, Vedic Academy for Spiritual Technology. We have Mr. Rohininandan Prabhu, who is involved with the Management Institute at Mira Road. We have Dr. Shyam Kishore, Professor at GS Medical College. We have Mr. Sanjay Ranjani, who is Director, Comtel Services. Mr. Gautam Agarwal, Import and Export at Noble Grain. We have Mr. Vrishabhanu Prabhu, Dr. Hosangadi, who is a retired head of the Department of Chemistry, Bombay University, and has guided more than 26 PhD students. Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle, who is lecturer at Department of Anatomy in KEM Hospital, also one of the wardens of the hostels there. Dr. Radhesham Pandey, Rector of Somaya Polytechnic Hostel. Mr. Gurushant Magi, Trainer, Bharatiya Sanskrit Peetham. And we have Mr. Uthupia, who is a Buddhist monk from Burma, studying Indian culture at Somaya. And Dr. Avasthi, Senior Divisional Medical Officer at Jagjivan Ram Hospital. So we are very grateful to these wonderful special guests who are present here. Also, we have His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, Temple President from Pune, and also along with him, IYF boys and brahmacharis from Pune Temple. We have Ekalavya Prabhu, Temple President Solapur, along with devotees from Solapur, and also we have Vedanta Chaitanya Prabhu, Temple President from Hyderabad, and devotees from Chennai. We have Krishna Abhishek Prabhu from IYF Calcutta, and we have Vishwambar Prabhu and Gauranga Kishore Prabhu from Gurukul, from USA. We would like to welcome all of these wonderful devotees to our program here by loudly chanting. So now we will have a couple of questions. We have very less time for question and answer this time. And then immediately after question and answers, we will have this multimedia presentation. And then do not miss the special darshan, which is going to be a most wonderful feature for the first time in the Prerana festival. Any questions?
Seeing our Buddhist friend, Ramai gives the thought of Dalai Lama. Apparently, what a failure. The Chinese attacked his countries, torturing and killing the priests, the lamas, the monks. He had to secretly sneak through the Himalayan mountains with nothing, by foot, to India as a refugee with nothing. It's a failure. Yes? But he was determined. He was determined. His cause. Now he is perhaps the most famous religious personality in all the world. He has gained Nobel Prize for peace from nothing. And he uses the persecution that he went through as a platform, the abuse of Tibet as a platform to gain the whole world's sympathy. Failure is stepping stone to success. Against all odds. When I went to visit him in 1971, his whole house was surrounded by barbed wire fences and there was military guards with machine guns because people were trying to kill him. He couldn't even get out practically. He had a lot of excuses to just do his bhajan. But now he's traveling all over the world. Should never give up. Is there any questions? The only failure is when we stop trying.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you said that failures are stepping stones to success. And you said that in the association of devotees, we gain faith. But whenever we are alone, mind again and again repeatedly reminds us of all those things. Like you failed at these instances, you cannot overcome this, you cannot move on this path of devotional service. Come on, give it up now. But if at those crucial moments we meet devotees, we meet our counselors, we open out our hearts, then all the problem is gone. They encourage us and we continue moving ahead. But time and again these problems come, and especially when alone, there is high possibility that we may give it up. So how to overcome, how to overcome all such situations?
Srila Prabhupada would often say, impossible is a word only in a fool's dictionary. He spoke with realization. He proved it in his life and his accomplishments. And he inspired many of his disciples with that same spirit. Devotees would go to countries they've never been to in the whole life with nothing and no one. Tremendous success. Beautiful temples. Thousands of devotees. Because Prabhupada's example inspired them. So that same principle should be applied to our own struggle within. Ultimately, the real struggle is within ourselves. If we have faith, if we have enthusiasm, if we don't give up, then we will succeed. The only failure really is within, when we make excuses, when we have justifications. I can't do it. We can, with the grace of God. There is the story of that little sparrow. Her eggs were taken by the ocean. She demanded those eggs back. But what is a sparrow in comparison to the ocean? She was determined, I'm going to dry up the ocean if I don't get my eggs. And one drop at a time she was caring. She had that determination. Was it possible for her to do it? How long does a sparrow live? Within the span of the life of a sparrow, could she dry up the ocean with her beak? Impossible for those in a fool's dictionary. But she was determined. She worked. She endeavored with faith. And her sincerity attracted the king of the birds, Garuda. Garuda came down and told the ocean, give those eggs or I will dry you up. The eggs were returned. That is our principle. Arjuna said to Krishna that the mind is so obstinate, so difficult to control, like the raging wind. Recently there was this Hurricane Isabel. The whole world was talking about Hurricane Isabel, with 160 mile an hour winds was in the ocean approaching continental USA. It was a class 5 hurricane. A class 2 hurricane does tremendous damage. What did they do? One of the biggest military bases in America, in North Carolina, with all their weapons and all their bombs and all their trained soldiers, what did they do? They evacuated and ran to another place because they could not compete with Hurricane Isabel. The fury of a woman in wrath is very, very difficult. According to the poet Proust. And it's done billions of dollars of damage, even when it's slowed down to about 60 miles an hour. But Arjuna tells Krishna that the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. Each and every one of us, our mind is more difficult to control than Hurricane Isabel. But Krishna explains, with constant practice and detachment, it will be done. Daivihyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna tells in Gita, this divine material nature is very difficult to overcome. But if you surrender unto me, you can easily cross beyond it. It is explained this material illusion is like a vast, unlimited ocean with tidal waves coming again and again. How many of us could swim across an ocean infested with sharks, agitated by tidal waves? But for those who surrender to God, the ocean is reduced in size to the amount of water contained in a hoof print of a calf. That is the power of God's grace. Manmanabhavamadbhakto madhyajimnanamasko. Just always think of me. You will come to me without fail. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that He preserves what we have and He will make up for whatever we are lacking. That is His promise. So with proper means, just be sincere, be honest, follow the process with that sincerity and honesty, and Krishna will give you all support. Krishna will give you all help. Even if you slip, even if you fall, just pick yourself up with faith in God and you will succeed. What is one of the first lessons every human being learns? How to walk. I'm sure none of you directly remember, but if you ask your parents or your relatives, very great fortune to be amongst all of you this evening. I would like to thank you from my heart for coming to attend this auspicious festival. Time is so precious. Every moment is more valuable than all the wealth that we can possibly achieve in this world. If you lose wealth, you can get it back. But if you lose time, it's gone. Every moment of this human form of life is so very, very valuable. Our success in life is how, moment after moment, we make decisions that are for our real welfare. Tonight, can everyone hear? Everyone could hear nicely? Yes? Tonight we have been asked to speak on the subject of failure as a stepping stone to success. I'd like to begin by explaining a small incident that took place in 1969. In London, England, they were planning to have the first Rath Yatra on the European continent. They had already had Rath Yatra in San Francisco, California. But the six devotees that came to London were very enthusiastic to perform this Rath Yatra in London. They got a main street in downtown London for the parade. Shyam Sundar Prabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada before the Rath Yatra explaining what type of promotion and propaganda they were making to attract people to come. They were expecting tens of thousands. There were posters, articles in papers, invitations, grand scale. When the Rath Yatra was just beginning, the wheel broke and the cart, the chariot, collapsed. It was a disaster. There was nothing they could do to fix it. They more or less had to cancel. So Gurudas Prabhu, who was one of the leading managers of that project, wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He was very despondent. He really felt that he had disappointed his guru. What to speak of disappointed tens and thousands of people who came for the parade? Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter back. In that letter, he first explained that from the engineering point of view, you must have had too much weight on the chariot without the capacity of the wheel to hold it. Therefore, the wheel broke. So we must learn this lesson. We have to engineer whatever we do in Krishna consciousness very carefully and very thoroughly. But beside that, Srila Prabhupada said, do not be discouraged. Do not be disappointed. Maybe Krishna has a higher reason that we cannot see for why this happened. Just be patient, be enthusiastic, and have your next Rath Yatra next month. Do it again with all enthusiasm. But make the cart right. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success. And this same principle can be applied to our spiritual lives in our service to the Supreme Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada explains that Jagannath, who is sitting on the cart, is none different than Krishna. If we are sincere, if we're never discouraged by the dualities of happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, Krishna will accept our sincerity, and that is our real success. Srila Prabhupada wrote in this letter that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar of success. But it can also be applied to our spiritual lives. One very famous orator has said that success is going from failure to failure to failure without losing one's enthusiasm. We never really fail until we give up trying. Trying with determination and with enthusiasm. Vision, real vision, is to see the invisible, to feel the intangible, and to achieve the impossible. Actually, challenges or failures can be stepping stones or stumbling blocks on the road to success. It is all a matter of how we look at it. You can see a glass is half empty, or you could see a glass is half full. One will bring you enthusiasm, one will bring you discouragement. We can apply that principle to every aspect of our life. What is of real importance is that we know we're doing the right thing. We learn from our mistakes. A mistake is only a mistake if we fail to learn from it. Real leaders make many, many mistakes, but they do not repeat them. They learn from them. They remain enthusiastic. They remain determined toward their goal. Actual champions in every situation, they are always focused on their goal. They make goals. And losers make excuses. Our life is what we make of it. Failure is a very minor stumbling block on the road to success. Srila Prabhupada explained to Gurudas, learn from your failure and you'll be better equipped to serve. In fact, do you know that a couple months later they had a more glorious Rath Yatra? And from that day on, in the next 30 years, all over the world, there has never been a Ratha Yatra cart that has broken on the road. They learned the lesson and taught the lesson to the whole world. Failures build character. Pressure is something that only comes to one who earns it. We should respect pressure as an honor. We cannot be successful unless we have the courage to fail. In every failure contains the seed of success. To be successful in any venture of life is very difficult. To fail is very easy. It is very difficult to roll a stone to the top of a mountain. It's very easy to push it down. When we learn from our mistakes, when we learn from our failures, we become stronger. We have greater integrity. Thomas Edison, he tried 8,000 various experiments before he finally invented the battery. And when he was asked about it, his quote was, he wasn't discouraged by all those 8,000 failures. He said, at least I learned what doesn't work. That is success. Now in Bombay, we are undergoing the monsoon rains. It's very inconvenient. Most people just do not like when it's raining. And that's a universal principle all over the world. Raining is an austerity. You practically cannot do anything outside. Yes? Children cannot do their sports. Adults cannot have open parties or whatever else they do. To get from one place to another, very difficult. However, the rain nourishes the earth, provides grains, fruits, vegetables, flowers. Without rain, there is no life. There is a song from the 1940s in America. When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So when we see the rain coming, our mind should be focused on the flower that they will bring. When difficulties, obstacles, pressures, and even failures come into our life, we should always be seeing the invisible, feeling the intangible, so that we can achieve the impossible. We may not understand exactly why But if we have faith, if we have hope, we can always be looking at that flower that will grow from this rainstorm. That is the substance of a successful man. Opportunity knocks. Most people complain about the noise. We should see an opportunity in every situation. We never really lose until we stop trying. It is said that in darkness, a star shines brightest. According to the Panchatantra, there are three types of persons in performing their duties. The one they call Kanishta, a person who does not begin an endeavor, fearful that he may fail. The second person is one who endeavors, but turns back when obstacles and failure comes on his path. That is Madhyam. And Uttam, the first class man, is the person who keeps his mind fixed on the goal and does not turn back till he achieves it. Srila Prabhupada explained that it is a material principle that failure is the pillar to success. But it can be applied to spiritual life. With your permission, I would like to give just a few examples. In the secular society, of how this principle applies. Do I have your permission? There was a man. He had low grades when he was a child. His father said he was dull and he would never make a living. He wanted to attend Standhurst University. He failed the admission exam 2 times. He also had a very severe lisp, a speech impediment. And it took him years and years of work to overcome it. This man's name was Winston Churchill. He became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom in the days when the sun never set in the British Empire. And in the secular world, he is considered one of the most famous orators of the 20th century. There was a man who wrote a children's book. He brought it to publishers. It was rejected 27 times. He actually came to the point where he was ready to burn the manuscript. This man's name is Dr. Seuss, the most world-famous author of children's books. He had 40 best-selling children's books in his life. And in the West, every child grows up with them, even me. There was a man who got a job as a journalist. He was fired. His employer said because he had no creativity. Then he started a cartoon company. And in the first year, he went bankrupt. That man's name is Walt Disney, who's practically the founder of children's films. Unbelievable success. There was a musical group. They auditioned and presented their music to Columbia Records and were rejected. To Decca Records, rejected. To Pay Records, rejected. To Philips Records, rejected. To his master's voice, rejected. This was in 1962. The name of that musical band was the Beatles. The most famous musical band in the history of the Western world. Practically any record they made went number one in the charts. There was a man who wanted to be a singer. In his high school, he got C in music class. And his music teacher said, "You cannot sing. Give up the idea." His name was Elvis Presley. He was the king of rock. And he's still considered the king of rock. There was a man who ran for president in his freshman year in college. He lost. The next year, what to speak of president, he wasn't even voted on to the student council because people just didn't think he was an adequate administrator. His name was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, one of the prominent presidents of the United States of America. Henry Ford went bankrupt 3 times in the first 3 years he entered into the automobile industry. There was a man named R.H. Macy who tried to make a store in New York City. 7 times he went out of business. For the past 40 years, one of the landmarks of New York City and a store that people from all over the world go to is Macy's Department Store. There was a man who failed as a real estate agent, failed as a farmer, failed as a customs agent, and failed as a store clerk. His name was Ulysses S. Grant, one of the greatest military generals in America's history, and he became President of the United States. There was a man who, due to mediocre grades, was not eligible to go to the UCLA film school where he really wanted to go. His name was Steven Spielberg. Perhaps you've heard of him. There was a man, when he was in high school, with all his might he played, he couldn't make the high school basketball team. His name, Michael Jordan. ESPN named him the greatest athlete of the 20th century. There was a man named Fred Smith who was going to college. In his project, he presented an idea for a business. He got grade C, which means average. It's not impressive. That same man founded on the same principles, actually, just by activating that project that he failed with, he founded the Federal Express Company. There was a lady. She wanted to be an actress. She worked for 20th Century Fox. After 1 year, she was dropped because the production chief said she was unattractive. Her name, Marilyn Monroe, who became the beauty goddess of Hollywood even to this day. Albert Einstein was not able to speak. He was not able to actually talk till he was 9 years old. Thomas Edison, he tried 1,320 times before he finally got his invention of the light bulb to work. And as I said before, 8,000 attempts before he got the battery to work. He never gave up. He kept his goal in mind. In my own life, my father, when I was 10 years old, he went into total bankruptcy. He had nothing. He lost everything. He made a wrong decision. He struggled and toiled just to keep his family from being in poverty. Today, he's a millionaire. And I remember when he was going through that crisis, every day I'd hear him singing loudly in the shower. When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. According to the three modes of material nature, Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter describes that people who perform their work disregarding spiritual injunctions and who perform work that causes violence and pain to others, that is work in the mode of ignorance. Those who endeavor very hard for selfish reasons, with false ego that I am the enjoyer, they are in the mode of passion. Most of the people we're talking about in the mode of passion, but they never gave up. They didn't care what anyone said about them. They didn't care how many times they fell on their face. They were willing to get back up and keep trying. That is the substance of a success. Those are in the mode of goodness. They work, they endeavor without false ego, free of dualities, without being discouraged or over elated by either success or failure. There are many examples in the Holy Scriptures of great souls who have overcome all obstacles to fulfill their mission. Krishna explains, Neha Bikramanasosti Pratyavayo Nividyate Swalpam Apyasya Dharamasya Trayate Mahatopaya. A spiritual principle that any advancement on the path of devotion is never lost. And even if one falls down, even if one fails, still whatever progress that that person has made is still with him. An example is Ajamiya. He strived on the path of devotion, and then he totally failed. He fell completely on his face into the most abominable sinful activities. But because his work gained him eternal spiritual credits, at the greatest time of his need, Krishna was there to protect him. We know Krishna induced him to name his son Narayan. And at the time of death, this sinful, immoral wretch simply said the name of his son because of his previous devotional activities. He saw the Yamadutas, Vishnudutas, and he made up his mind then, I did the wrong thing. I made a big mistake. He learned from his lesson, he picked himself up, and he attained the ultimate perfection of life, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we must perform our duties without attachment. We should not be attached to the fruits of our work. We should be attached to the purpose in which we are performing our work. Of all scriptures in the world, Bhagavad Gita so deeply, systematically, scientifically, philosophically, logically explain the proper consciousness in which to perform our duties in this world. Krishna within our heart does not see the external appearance of success or failure. Krishna sees our sincerity. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna explains, if you even offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it if it is offered with devotion. And let us see how these principles of Bhagavad Gita have been applied in great spiritual teachers' lives in our history. Christianity, it is the largest religion in the world as far as number of people, by many times over. They went through a very, very serious failure. Their savior, there was only a few followers at the time. Jesus Christ only had perhaps a couple thousand followers then. And there were only a very few, 12, who are really serious and committed. his religious movement was at a seed state. And he was crucified. He was tortured, and he left the world. Their guru, their master, when they were just novices, had left them. And after that, anyone who followed would become persecuted. It's a failure, in one sense. But ultimately, what is the principle that caused Christianity to grow all over the world the way it did? That Jesus died for our sins. On the top of every church, all the millions and millions of churches in the world, is the crucifix, which apparently was their failure. They lost their guru, they lost their guide. But what appeared to be a failure, they transformed the Christians into making that the greatest, most powerful statement to convert people. The Prophet Muhammad, he began his preaching in Mecca. He made a few followers. Most of them were killed in persecution. He had to disguise himself to sneak out of the city without being killed. It's a failure. But later he came back. He learned from things. He had faith in God. He had enthusiasm, determination. He came back. Now Mecca is the greatest place of pilgrimage for the Islamic faith. In the Vedic scriptures, we read of Vishwamitra Muni. He was a yogi. He performed years and years of severe austerities. And then, a beautiful lady named Menaka appeared before him. He completely fell down into sinful, immoral acts. He lost all of his mystic power. He lost all of his whatever he had done. He failed. But what did he do? He got right back into, he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. He would never be seduced by a woman like that again. I will not give in to lust. So with even more determination, he performed his tapasya for many, many years. And then another heavenly damsel appeared before him. And this time, he wasn't going to give in to lust. He was so angry at her. He burned her he made her into stone by his glance. And because he gave in to anger, he fell down. He lost all his yogic powers. He was again just an ordinary man. He failed. What did he do? He didn't get married and get a job. He just went right back. Now I learned two good lessons. Failure is a stepping stone to success if we have faith and vision. It is a stumbling block to success if we do not. Vishwamitra Muni again performed his tapasya and became such a great, great devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, became his disciple. And now he is glorified throughout history as one of the greatest rishis of all time. In Mahabharata, we read the story of Pandavas. The Pandavas failed really failed. They lost everything. Yudhisthira made a serious mistake by entering into that gambling match. It is one of the regulative principles. No gambling. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. But as a kshatriya, he had that right. Because it's also a principle of a kshatriya. If you're challenged, you cannot say no. So he was challenged. So it was a mistake that he was willing to take the challenge, knowing that Shakuni was on the other side. He lost his wealth. And then they said, another game? Yes. He lost his kingdom. Another game? Yes. He lost his brothers. Another game? Yes. He lost his wife. He lost everything. The Pandavas lost everything. They failed. They were exiled into the forest for 14 years. They were tried to murder. They tried to murder them in so many ways. Duryodhana tried to burn their house down while they were in it. At other times he tried to poison them. And we can imagine when they were exiled into the forest to live like hermits, how Duryodhana, his 100 brothers, and all of his associates were set spreading blasphemous, horrible propaganda against the Pandavas to justify what they had done. They lost everything. They were disgraced, dishonored, but they never gave up hope. They never gave up faith. They never gave up their sincerity to serve Krishna. And it was in this circumstance that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to teach them that real success is not in the eyes of man. Real success is in the eyes of God. Because that bears eternal fruit. It is said that if you're not willing to go on the limb, you'll never get the fruit. 'Fortune favors the brave. Those who will take risks, those who never give up, those who learn from their mistakes, learn from their failures, correct them in a very positive state, do not get discouraged, but maintain enthusiasm and hope. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told Arjuna, whether you win or lose is not important. What is important is you are with all your energy, you are serving with sincerity. And then if you win, you will attain the kingdom of the world. And if you lose, you'll attain the kingdom of God. Arjuna didn't need to hear that. We need to hear it. Therefore, Arjuna took a role on our behalf so that we could learn what is real detachment. in our own life, we worship the example of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna could have given him an Air India flight to New York. Krishna could have had many well-wishers waiting for him at the John F. Kennedy Airport with garlands and money. From Bombay, Srila Prabhupada tried so many ways to somehow or other start this movement. Actually, even before that, in 1952, Srila Prabhupada went to Jhansi. He was given a building at the Bharatiya Bhavan. And he founded the League of Devotees in 1953. It was his dream. It was his conviction that this building in Jhansi will be the international headquarters for a movement that he's going to spread throughout the world. He gave his life, his soul, his blood, his sweat, his tears to develop it. For well over a year. His whole life, all his energy, whatever wealth he had, he put into this project. It was taken away from him. He falls down 50 times and says, "Forget it, I can't do it." Then he'll still be laying there when he's 80 years old. But no matter how many times we fell down, we got up and fell and got up and fell and got up and fell and got up. And now we don't fall. That is one of the first lessons in life. That if you want to succeed, every time you fall, get back up and move forward. So that is how we must control our mind. By offering it to Krishna. All the power of God is on our side. How to offer it to Krishna? Just try to follow Krishna's teachings honestly and sincerely, with enthusiasm, with determination, with faith. Konteya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. Krishna will help me. Does that answer your question?
So, although we have very less time, but this one last question. It is said that behind every successful man, there is a woman. So, is this statement also approved by ISKCON? What about brahmacharis and sannyasis?
Yes, it certainly applies to brahmacharis and sannyasis. Because the goddess of bhakti is Srimati Radharani. And it is her mercy that sustains and nourishes all of us. It is her mercy that is our very life and soul. But the brahmacharis and sannyasis do not wish to have any alternatives. But Srila Prabhupada explains, if you're a grihastha and the wife and the husband are both sharing the same mission of devotional service, then the husband should understand that his wife is the representative of the goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. So we are all depending on Sri Radharani's mercy. She's behind all of us. There are varieties of ways that we can apply that principle in our life.
Thank you, Maharaj. We have a couple more. Okay, so one or two more questions? Yes.
Maharaj, because of our past conditions, we cannot follow the orders of Bhagavan Shri Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita or the Prabhupada, then what is our condition to overcome or to follow that order of Prabhupada or the Bhagavan Shri Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita?
If we are sincerely trying, Krishna will help us. That is our success. Krishna doesn't simply see our success and failure. Krishna sees the earnestness of our sincerity. Srila Prabhupada at one time was trying to give this bhakti to people who were addicted to intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling their lives away, who had no religious training at all. Can you imagine the internal impediments those people had? But because they had faith in their guru, and because he inspired determination and enthusiasm in them, they overcame all obstacles. And even if they slipped, they got up and continued. Srila Prabhupada said, there's only one thing really required to be successful: sincerity. We will achieve all perfection if we can simply, sincerely, even one time, chant the holy names of the Lord. Sometimes the most impossible crises and obstacles are actually the most auspicious blessings with a thin veil over. See behind the veil, and you'll never give up, and you will never fail. Is there another question?
Hello. Maharaj, if a devotee, after practicing for many years Krishna consciousness, suddenly, because of test given by Krishna, at that particular time he doesn't fall, means, but later he plans for, means, going out of Krishna consciousness. So what's his fate? Means, whether his fate is same as the person who at the time of the test he fall down, or his fate would be different from if he himself plans for his going out of Krishna consciousness. means what's his fate when a person plans for going out of Krishna consciousness?
If a person accidentally falls from the path due to previous conditionings, due to immaturity, but earnestly tries, he will learn his lessons and Krishna will pick him up and he will achieve the goal in due course. If we deliberately plan to fall into the clutches of illusion, to deviate from God's word, then it will take a much longer time. Whatever progress we have made is eternal. It's all waiting for us. But until we really turn to God sincerely, we're on our own. One who is accidental in difficulty is turning to God, but just couldn't do it. Some lack may have been there, but their sincerity is. One who deliberately goes astray, then that person is on their own in the clutches of Maya. And until on their own, again, they turn to the Lord, they will not have the Lord's power to rescue them. But it is always there for every living being. Does that answer your question?
My question is Krishna, we follow the Krishna, and Krishna has 16,000 wives. So why to follow Brahmacharya?
We cannot imitate Krishna. He also lifted Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. So from the Brahmachari's point of view, it's more difficult to maintain a wife than lifting Govardhan Hill. So if we can't lift Govardhan Hill, better than we remain Brahmachari. But Krishna has taught us. Chatur Varna Mayastrisam. He has given us the Varnashram system. According to our nature, our qualities, and according to our capacity, we are best suited in one of the ashrams. Krishna's Lord Chaitanya too. Yes. In fact, his most recent avatar is Lord Chaitanya. And he took sannyas. But he also was a perfect grihastha. So he taught us by his example how to perfect your life as a grihastha with a family, and how to perfect your life in the renounced order. What's necessary is our sincerity, our honesty, our willingness to take shelter of the association of inspired souls, and our attachment to the chanting of God's names.